Today is Reformation Sunday. 501 years ago this week, Martin Luther publicly called for renewal in the Church of Jesus Christ. And today our church, just like all covenant churches, is part of the Protestant Reformation, this movement of renewing the church that's been going on now for half a millennium. And while the Reformation has developed into what we know today as many different denominations, many different movements and Christian churches, we all share certain affirmations of faith in common. For instance, we believe that salvation is found in Jesus Christ alone. We believe that we are saved by God's grace through faith alone. We believe that our highest authority for truth is found in Scripture alone. These are common affirmations that we share with all Reformation churches. And in many ways, the Reformation calls the Church of Jesus Christ to return to our biblical roots, back to the roots of the very first generation of believers, those who knew Jesus and those who came to faith through those who knew Jesus and their testimony. We're called to recapture the power of God that was at work in that early church and to keep the followers of Jesus Christ focused, to keep focused on the good news that Jesus alone is our Savior. All that we do here in our church, week after week, our worship, our Bible studies, the fellowship that we enjoy as we reach out into our community, all the things that we do as a church and the ministries that we support joins us together with the great work of God's kingdom. We share the love and message of Jesus Christ with people in need. And that is the mission that Jesus gave to the church 2,000 years ago. It's the mission that the church in all its various forms all over the world, that is the mission that the Church of Jesus Christ has been pursuing now for 2,000 years. And our ministry is connected with the church as we look back through history, but we are also connected in our mission as we look forward into eternity. And we believe, and we want to think this morning as we read a passage from Ephesians chapter 6, we want to think about how we are engaged in a spiritual battle that began with Jesus Christ on the cross. And the spiritual battle will continue until Jesus returns. And we are, even here in our church, even each one of us in our individual lives, just as the Church of Jesus Christ has been engaged for all of these years, we are engaged in this battle to rescue souls from the forces of darkness. And God gave us a great promise that He will provide for His church, that He will enable us for this battle. So listen to this message of encouragement and also a message of challenge. This is from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert, always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. And that was Paul's encouragement, his prayer, that they would pray for him, an ambassador in chains. Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesian church while he was literally in chains. He was a prisoner held in Rome, waiting finally to go on trial before Caesar. Paul, of course, would give his life there as a martyr, one who laid down his life for his faith. And so he writes to his friends in the Ephesian church as an ambassador in chains, someone who had suffered persecution and rejection, someone who had suffered even physical violence for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet, despite the physical chains that bound Paul, he knew that the greatest struggle we face, and this is still true today, the greatest challenge that the church of Jesus Christ faces is against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. These words remind us that the spiritual battle for human hearts is real. The spiritual battle for human hearts. The church has been engaged in this battle with Satan and evil ever since Jesus walked out of the tomb. Ever since Jesus placed into the hands of his disciples and every generation of believers after them, the mission, the ministry that he started to share the love of Christ and the message, the good news of Christ with the world. And ever since then, the enemy has been attacking. The enemy has been opposing and tempting and misleading and doing everything that he can to stop us from sharing the message and love of Jesus. And the sad truth is that Satan seems to be gaining ground. The Church of Jesus Christ, we all know, is in decline. The church is in decline in our nation, both in numbers and those who are committed to faith and active in their faith, living out their faith, but also declining in terms of our cultural influence. Fewer and fewer people are coming to Christ in our nation. Fewer and fewer people are living lives of moral integrity. Fewer people are holding to the truth of God's Word. Now, if you look around the world, in other parts of the world, God is gaining great victories as the church is growing in South America and in Africa and in Asia. But we see in our culture, and the great irony is that in our culture, we don't believe in Satan anymore. And you wonder why he's winning. You wonder why the church is in decline in a culture that no longer believes in the spiritual battle. You see, in place of faith and the ways of God, our culture is turning to human-centered worldviews. There is no God. There is no truth. There are no moral standards for people in our culture anymore. As long as you don't hurt someone else, do whatever you want, is the sort of ethical mantra of our day. To gain ground in the spiritual battle, Satan does not need people. And maybe you haven't thought about this before. To gain ground, Satan doesn't need people to acknowledge him. Satan doesn't need people to worship him. Satan doesn't need people to bow down and honor him. Satan doesn't care about that. In order to gain ground, all Satan needs to do is keep people from knowing and worshiping and following Jesus. They don't need to know why. They don't need to turn to Satan and follow him. All he cares about is that they don't follow Jesus. And so as we engage in this spiritual battle for people's hearts, we need to keep in mind that unbelievers are not the enemy. People who don't yet know Jesus are not our enemy. Despite what our culture may say, despite what those voices of hate that we hear so often and that apparently some people turn into action, people are not our enemy. And Paul expresses that very clearly. Again, think of Paul there in chains, suffering for his faith at the hands of the most powerful government on the face of the earth at that time, the Roman Empire. And Paul says, they're not my enemy. Our enemy is Satan, who wants to stop the message of Jesus Christ from going forward, who wants to enslave human hearts. And so we fight against the devil's schemes. We fight against the powers of darkness. Of course, we see evidence everywhere today of Satan's advance in our culture. The moral decay of our society is evidence that Satan is winning. Disunity and bitterness in our political system. The only one who wins in that scenario is Satan. No one else wins. The self-seeking attitudes and behaviors of people, Satan wins. Violence in our streets, abuse in our homes, racism, hate, Satan wins. Satan wins when those things happen. Most of all, we see Satan winning every time the Church of Jesus Christ stops speaking the truth. Every time the church stops pointing people to Jesus Christ as the Savior, Satan wins. So if this spiritual battle is real, and if Satan is advancing, then we need to know, I hope that we would want to know, what can we do about it? What is our battle plan? Ephesians chapter 6 calls us to do two things. The Holy Spirit calls us to do two things here. The first is to stand firm, and the second is to enter the battle. And so let's begin with standing firm. In other words, don't lose ground in the battle. Stand firm. Put up a strong defense. Don't become discouraged. Don't become overwhelmed. If we see that the enemy seems to be gaining ground, don't be discouraged, but stand firm. And so the battle cry in verse 13 is put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, and that day of evil is here, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. If you can't do anything else, at least stand firm. Put on the spiritual armor. And these first pieces of armor that Paul describes here are defensive armor, right? These are things that help us to withstand the attacks of the enemy. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the boots of the gospel, defensive armor that enable us to stand firm in the face of the attacks of the enemy. We stand firm in truth, in righteousness, and in the good news of Jesus. We stand firm. This defensive armor reminds us that we stand in God's strength and not our own. We stand in God's truth, in God's righteousness, that we stand for the things of Christ, not the things of this world. No matter how nice they may look or appealing they may sound, we stand for the things of Christ. The sad truth of our day is that truth, righteousness, and the gospel are all under attack. And we shouldn't be surprised that they're under attack. Most people in our culture today believe that there is no absolute truth. Believe whatever you want. Believe whatever affirms your self-chosen identity. That's how our culture operates. In the same way, moral righteousness has evaporated. Today, what is wrong is called right, and what is right, according to God's word, is now called wrong. And so the only moral standard left in our culture, as I said before, is do whatever you want as long as you don't hurt somebody else. And Satan loves that culture and that moral standard because it keeps people from following God's way. Truth and righteousness are under attack. Meanwhile, the gospel story has been largely left for dead in our culture. The story of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection is no longer welcome in public discourse. I don't even mean that you can't pray in school. That's long since past. Maybe we don't even want to go back to those days. I don't know. But to even be able to talk about Jesus openly and publicly, it's no longer welcome in the public square. Satan is gaining ground all around us. And so we are called in the midst of this to stand firm, to hold to the truth of God's Word, to live in righteousness, to live the way God has called us to live and show the world that way of righteousness. And we are called, of course, to share the story of Jesus Christ and to share it without excuse, without watering it down, without saying, well, this is what I believe, but you can believe whatever you want. No, to tell the story of Jesus in a way that invites people to faith. To tell the story of Jesus as good news, which is, it is good news. It's good news that people who are now destined for destruction in hell can be saved by God's love. And it's good news that we tell people about Jesus. We tell that story without fear. You see, every time we read God's Word, every time we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, we push back against Satan. Every time we love our neighbors in Jesus' name, we gain ground in the battle and we push Satan farther back. A strong defense is good. We need a strong defense. We need to stand firm. But that's not enough. We also are called to enter into the battle. We are called to gain ground for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so for this, we're given weapons of war in this spiritual battle. We boldly enter the spiritual battle with three mighty weapons: the Holy Spirit and God's Word and prayer. Three mighty weapons that we use to fight back against Satan. With these weapons, we can win hearts for Christ. We can invite others to join with us in following Jesus. The Holy Spirit is God's very presence and power in our lives, working in us and through us, correcting us, comforting us, guiding us, convicting us of sin, but then also giving us the gifts and the energy that we need to reach out to the world with God's love and with the good news. The Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And then we have God's Word that gives us wisdom and truth, that guides our thinking, that helps us to know who God is and how He wants us to live, gives us God's own truth that shapes how we live, but also gives us a message of good news for the world around us. And then we have prayer. Prayer is the key to unlocking God's power in this world. And so we pray to invite God to be at work in our lives, to make a difference in the world. We see terrible things on the news and we feel helpless, but we aren't helpless. We can pray. And our prayers are powerful. It's not just nice thoughts. It's the power of God being unleashed to change lives, whether it's the lives of people far away that we know are hurting this morning, or whether it's people right here in our own church, our own community. We pray because we know that God changes lives when we pray. We pray that God will give us the strength that we need to share His love and the story of Jesus. And so we enter into this battle. We take up these weapons. And as we do this, we remember again that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is not against people. Our struggle is not even against those who have rejected the gospel. It's not against those who persecute us. It's not against those who say that we're the problem. Our struggle, our battle, is against the forces of evil. And we push them back by proclaiming the good news of Jesus. We push them back by loving people in Jesus' name. We push them back by praying that God will enable us to reach out in love, and that when we do, hearts will be ready to receive that good news. During my almost two decades now of ministry, preaching every Sunday morning in Covenant churches, first in Michigan and Massachusetts and now here. And I have been aware, keenly aware, of the need to proclaim the gospel. I've been aware of the fact that when we tell the story of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and when we invite people to respond to that message of Jesus Christ, that God is at work and that Satan is pushed back. And so we proclaim the gospel even as I look out here and I see most of you, maybe all of you, are followers of Jesus. Oh, I know the gospel. I know Jesus. Well, we're going to keep proclaiming it. We're going to keep telling the story. We're going to keep sharing the good news of Jesus Christ because I believe there is spiritual power in the gospel. I believe that when we publicly proclaim God's word, we cast out the forces of darkness. We push back against Satan, who wants nothing more than to silence the gospel. And I believe that Satan is pushed back not only from our lives and from this church, but that as we continue to proclaim the gospel, then everywhere we go, Satan is continued to be pushed back. Because we carry with us the good news. We carry with us the name of Jesus Christ. We carry with us the power of the Holy Spirit, which is more powerful, infinitely more powerful, than anything that Satan could do around us. Into the darkness of our culture, we proclaim Jesus Christ in the power of the Spirit and through the words of Scripture and under the cover of prayer. We proclaim the good news. We share the message and love of Jesus because that is how we defeat the enemy and that is how people will come to know that Jesus Christ is their Savior. For centuries, the church has publicly declared our faith. And this goes back, I mentioned the Reformation 501 years ago. This public declaration of faith that I'm going to point us to in just a moment goes back to the second century, 1800 years, the Church of Jesus Christ has used the words of what we call today the Apostles' Creed. This was a collection of beliefs that the early church drew together through the words of Scripture, and they sat down to say, what is it that all believers believe? What is it that all followers of Jesus hold in common? And for all of these hundreds of years, the Church of Jesus Christ, whether it's a covenant church or a Baptist church or a Catholic church or an Orthodox church, we can all stand together and say we believe these things in common. And so I'm going to, as we close here, I'm going to invite you to stand with me, and we're going to join in saying together the Apostles' Creed. And you may not have this memorized. Maybe long, long ago you memorized these words, but it's going to be on the screen, so you don't have to have it memorized. But let me invite you to stand together. And we're going to declare our faith. What is it that we believe? What is it that the Christian church believes? And as we declare this faith, let me begin with this question. Brothers and sisters, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the The slides went too ahead there. We need to go back. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Go ahead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please pray with me. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your love. We thank you that you have called us to be the people of God, saved through Jesus Christ. But Lord, we are also called to join in that great spiritual battle, to push back the forces of Satan so that we can continue to share the good news with others. And I pray that as you send us out, you would teach us, that you would motivate us and encourage us to share your love and the good news of Jesus with those who haven't yet heard. And we pray that as we do, you would build your kingdom. People would come to faith. And we could rejoice together that more and more people come to know that Jesus is our Savior. As we pray these things in His name. Amen.